The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
It's first 12. Thanks to my good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line with you through till 1. There were 145 new cases of COVID recorded yesterday. We now have 796 active cases on the Isle of Man. 5 people in Nobles with COVID. Nobody in ICU. There are 417 people waiting for the result of a test today, and 94 people booked in for a test. From the vaccination dashboard, 68,323 first doses have been administered, 64,828 second doses, 810 third doses, 20,788 boosters have been administered. That's a grand total of 154,749 vaccinations having taken place. And Manx Care are holding 11,701 shots of vaccine in stock at the moment. What are your thoughts so far? Laurie Hooper was on yesterday. We had loads of stuff we didn't even get to yesterday because we were talking about COVID an awful lot. Didn't get to social care, didn't get to the care homes. So hopefully in the new year, Mr. Hooper will be back. I think he's keen to have a chat more. So thanks to Laurie Hooper for that. And if you've got any reflections on what Mr. Hooper had to say yesterday, then by all means, get in touch. Something we've not really touched on much. It did come up a couple of days ago, and that is the Isle of Man and its approach towards assisted dying, and particularly with Jersey's decision to approve the principal. Dr. Allinson was talking about that. So if you've got any thoughts on that, we'll possibly listen to what Dr. Allinson had to say. But the big news today in the north of the Isle of Man is this £40 million plan to develop a greenfield site in Ramsey. Have you heard about it?
The site on the banks of the Sulby River is bordered by recent development Alden Meadow to the west and the Northern Delivery Office to the south. Planner Richard Coote says although the build is proposed for an area bounded by a nature reserve, sustainability is a key focus.
This is all about placemaking and opening up a site which essentially has been cut off to the public for a long period of time. It's not an approach where we're just putting lots of housing on here. At the heart of it, there'll be a series of employment uses, about 200 new homes, 2 to 3 new parks. We're working with local ecologists and other experts to ensure that the landscaping is sensitively curated. And then one of the nice new things which we're introducing is this wonderful pub with panoramic views overlooking the river.
It sounds idyllic. I have to ask the tricky question, though, about that river. Homeowners in that area. Insurance has been tricky to get.
I do a lot of work with developing sort of floodproof homes and mitigation measures. And we can give you the assurances that people on this site will be able to maintain or to get hold of insurance, and that the houses have been designed to be fit for purpose for their lifetime. So in the event of even, you know, an extreme flood, these houses will remain dry, will remain safe.
I'm sure you're aware that in recent years, particularly, the island's property market has soared. Is this a luxury development?
What we're going to provide is a balance of a mix of housing. They're tenure neutral. So whether you're living in an affordable house or living in one of the others, you won't be able to tell the difference.
MHK for Ramsey, Dr. Alex Allinson, is keen to see how the project develops.
One of the key considerations, obviously, when you're having a residential development in this area is the flood risk, but also the proportion of these homes that will be affordable. One of the positives of this scheme, though, is the through road, because there's lots of residents further up who have been faced with increased traffic because of new developments. And this gives an ideal conduit for that traffic, particularly during the TT period. So I'm very interested in knowing more about this development, which actually could bring quite a few more affordable houses into the north and hopefully also regenerate that part of the island.
The public are invited to share their views at an online public consultation. For more information, visit manxradio.com.
That's our local democracy reporter, Sarah Hendy, looking at this £40 million plan for the north of the Isle of Man, a greenfield site. I wonder what your thoughts are. This Sulby Riverside site, Ballacrink Farm, the Sulby Riverside site, located at Ballacrink Farm, really, bordered by Poldhuy Nature Reserve to the north. Now, the previous board, as you heard, were enthusiastic about it. The current members of the Ramsey Town Commissioners have yet to review the plans. If you live in and around, what are your immediate thoughts on this? Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com, call 661368. I thought this is a text in, it just says, I thought building on greenfield sites was discouraged now. COVID and the general state of the world unrest has taught us we must be self-sufficient with basic food production. Too late if you build on farmland as well. A message in, I'll come to the assisted dying in a few moments' time, but lots of people also talking about this provision to put another £30 million into the Liverpool landing stage. Another £30 million. So we're now up to £70 million. £70 million for what? Well, the provision is it could cost that much, but just providing another £30 million for this. What are your thoughts on that? Crikey. When's it supposed to be finished? When will it actually happen? And Terry just said, look, can we look at the assisted dying? You mentioned it yesterday. I think there's a definite need for change. Surveyed Manx people said there was an overwhelming call for change. Jersey have beaten us to it, but we still could lead the way in this regard. We could become a destination for end-of-life patients and a hub for well-trained palliative care nurses from around the world. Clearly, this could help the economy, save money for the NHS. Furthermore, with all the new viruses about, anybody with long COVID could feel reassured to know that assisted suicide could be an option. We could. This could create work. It could create trade, says Terry, who emailed in. This is a really sensitive subject. It's heavy, and it concerns everybody. Has an opinion on this because ultimately we're all going to go that way. We're all on a one-way trip. So I wonder what your thoughts on this. The impetus for the Isle of Man to introduce legislation for assisted dying may increase if COVID-19 travel restrictions are eased. This is Alex Allinson, Dr. Allinson again. He prompted a Tynwald debate on assisted dying last year, and he said that Jersey's decision to approve the principle says that, well, easier travel would enable a fully informed discussion.
This isn't a race. As you say, we had a discussion in Tynwald in 2020 regarding assisted dying, and at the time quite a few of the members were in favour of it, but wanted more information to see what the consequences might be for our island. I absolutely believe in personal choice and autonomy, particularly towards the end of death. And so what we need to do now that some of the travel restrictions are being abated is to make sure that Tynwald members are briefed accordingly by people with views from all sides, so that when we discuss this again and hopefully have leave to introduce some legislation for the Isle of Man, we can make the right decision for the people of this island.
And I think you're going to do a briefing early in the new year, or the planning is, to Tynwald members. Yeah. An interesting statistic, about 87% of the island saying that they were in favour of assisted dying, but 75% saying they wanted to debate it in Tynwald. Why the disparity? You would have thought everybody who wanted to see assisted dying brought in would say, yes, Tynwald debate it.
There are some very strong held beliefs on all sides. In many ways, it is a very personal decision for that individual and their family to make. And what an assisted dying bill would do would be to be honest about people's intentions, to support them through the last months of their lives.
It's terrible to use the word urgency, but you've mentioned 2023, preliminary look at legislation. There'll be people listening to this who'll be thinking, well, you know what they'll be thinking.
Absolutely. I mean, my intention would be to start this debate again early next year. There are lots of things going on, lots of conflicting priorities, but what we're dealing with is individual autonomy and choice in terms of the way people die. And I think it's absolutely right that as Tynwald develops and we have a mature democracy on our island, that all these voices are heard.
Dr. Allinson talking about this subject, and again, this isn't a subject anybody takes lightly, and whether or not it's something you think should be provided on the Isle of Man. There are certainly places around the world where assisted dying or assisted suicide, whatever you want to call it, available. Canada, it's available. Lots of states in the United States, it's available. Certainly in Switzerland, Dignitas is based in Basel in northern Switzerland, and there was a statistic a couple of years ago, and I've no reason to believe it's changed that much, but 40% of their trade was from the British Isles. Yeah, a couple of days ago, somebody was mentioning these out-and-about events where you're invited to meet members of the new Council of Ministers. There are four drop-in events being held around the Isle of Man, and they're happening next week, Tuesday the 7th and Wednesday the 8th. There are drop-in sessions, and they're on between 4 and 8. If you want to go and see the ministers, in the north on Tuesday, they're at Ramsey Town Hall, and in the west at the House of Mananin between 4 and 8. And on Wednesday in the east, they're at the Colonnade Suite in the Villa Marina in Douglas, and also at the Air and Arts Centre in Port Erin. All the ministers, well, the ministers will be there on Tuesday in the north. The chief minister will be there, Mr. Cannon, Mr. Allinson, Dr. Allinson will be there, Mr. Hooper, and also Mrs. Poole Wilson will be there, the Home Affairs Minister. In the west on Tuesday, the Cabinet Office Minister, Kate Lord Brennan, will be there. Mr. Crookall will be there, so both Peel and Glenfaber MHKs will be there. Education, Sport and Culture Minister Julie Edge and Treasury Minister David Ashford at the House of Mananin on Tuesday. On Wednesday, at the Colonnade in Villa Marina, Kate Lord Brennan will be there again. Julie Edge, Education, Sport and Culture. Jane Paul Wilson, Home Affairs. And David Ashford, Treasury Minister. And in the south, next Wednesday the 8th, the Chief Minister will be at the Air and Arts Centre. Dr. Allinson will be there as well. Enterprise Minister, Health and Social Care Minister, Mr. Hooper, and Infrastructure Minister, Mr. Crookall, will be there. So, next Tuesday and Wednesday, comb in, if you like, out and about on a roadshow, meeting you. Venues for Tuesday again, Ramsey Town Hall and the House of Mananin and Peel. For Wednesday, the Colonnade Suite at the Villa Marina and the Erin Arts Centre in Port Erin. They'd like to see you as well. And a message, Jim, from Christine, just said, Andy, look, the cancellation of Christmas parties, driven by a concern of a crowd meeting in a badly ventilated premises. Comin should regulate air quality and accept the need for government to assist in material upgrade costs for businesses. The current grant system from the Department for Enterprise under Corona Business Adaptation Grants expires at the end of this year, 31st of December. Grants limited to £5,000, but can be spent on equipment like HEPA air filtration units, which would benefit smaller businesses. Now, investing in clean air, says Christine, involving structural change for schools, is a long-term investment, but will provide benefit now and mitigation of transfer of other airborne viruses in the future. So we also need, says Christine, businesses to be able to display a certificate saying they are a clean air venue. But the current grant system expires on the 31st of December. So, says Christine, we wonder what's going to happen to that. To the emails and texts, a message in that says, assisted dying, says Tony. I understand the arguments for euthanasia, but I can also see that once in place, the vulnerable, the infirm, the elderly will feel an obligation. Nobody wants to feel like a burden, and these patients may feel like a burden. If they, the only people who want to, if they're the only people who want to live through old age or illness. Through austerity, society, says Tony, I think has become cold, callous, calculating. What's stopping a distant family member trying to convince another family member to die because they may need their inheritance or can't afford to fund treatments? Lots of questions. Lots of regulation, lots of safeguards would have to be put in place for this. Not a pleasant subject, but I just think it's one that we have to talk about, because obviously Jersey will be enacting that legislation. And with, as Dr. Allenson was saying, with more regular travel, obviously Blue Islands and Origny are going to be providing quite regular journeys to Jersey. What are your thoughts? Why are booster jabs being rushed forward when the effect from the original jabs was supposed to last 6 months? It seems to be unknown whether the original vax is even effective, says Sue, against the new strain. Also, how deadly is the new strain? If it's not deadly, then why the panic? Don't ask me, Sue, I don't know. But what they say is, I mean, there are all sorts of views about what the Omicron strain is going to be, whether they say it's more transmissible and less dangerous. Some people are saying that. Some people are saying, wait and see. As always, Sue, will be in the hands of the experts. And then a chorus comes back, which experts? Well, it says, gee, look, the scheme for the Solby River may provide flood-proof houses. What happens to the roads and the vehicles if the area floods as well? 70 million, this is John, just said 70 million and counting for the Liverpool landing stage by the middle of 2023. Will the minimum the island's residents have to pay for the ferry terminal? It's designed to look like a ship. A building resembling a white elephant would be more appropriate. The chief executive officer has resigned. He shouldn't be the last person to go after this debacle. I rate it nearly as badly as the MEA fiasco. Now, it's past time the Department for Infrastructure was disbanded. An inquiry into this, well, John calls it a frivolous waste of taxpayers' money. This is the, well, this is the proposal, an extra £30 million for the Liverpool landing stage. If it's all spent, upwards of £70 million on this. The Chief Minister has said Department of Infrastructure is going to be restructured, but obviously it's going to be a bit late where this is concerned. Some more messages in as well. I just want to say that people need to be reminded to put a mask on when on public transport. My partner is a taxi driver and loads of people are refusing to wear a mask and are arguing about this in taxis. I think the regulation is now, or isn't it the recommendation, you have to sit in the back of a taxi. You can't sit in the front with the driver. You have to sit in the back and you have to wear a mask. Just do the right thing, says this correspondent, or we'll be in another lockdown. If you're a taxi driver as well, just tell us what's the situation. Have you been able to persuade everybody to wear a mask in your cab? Has anybody not taken the cab because they don't want to wear a mask? 25 past 12. David. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. A serious issue as we go before we go into a new year is the money, extra money that's required for the landing stage at Liverpool. Now, the parliamentarians, there should be a statement from Treasury or the Chief Minister to explain to us as the population why it's gone £30 million over the original costings. And that's not a small amount of money. That's quite a large amount of money that we're going to have to find, or the taxpayer has to find through Treasury, is to say what else is not going to get done.
I would imagine, because Timwell members are going to be asked to increase the spending at December's sitting, so presumably the truth will come out then.
Well, I think we need a doubt. My personal thoughts are we shouldn't always have to wait for Timwell to sit or the Keys to sit to find out these things. I don't know what the population would be listing figures to listen to Timwell or the Keys. Sometimes it's exciting. Sometimes you would turn it off. Sometimes you would go shopping because it's just to relax. But I think there should be, Treasury should be pushing it out there, or the council ministers should be saying, this is what's happened and this is what's gone on. And when we do major projects like that, and I agree with them to have a land estate, we will own that, and it'll be ours, the Isle of Man taxpayer, to have there, so we won't be kicked about all the time, and it'll be for us in the future. But to ask for 30 million, I think it is 30 million is the target, isn't it?
It is. An additional 32.6 million. That'll take the total to just over 70.6 million.
Yeah. And to us, that's a lot of money that we could be doing something else on. And I just think it's been, there was a little headline, Max Radio put it out there. There's nothing being said. I think it's just probably shameful that the council ministers, so that's the chief minister, Treasury Minister David Ashford, or Mr. Krukel, who's the DOI, must be involved in it there, is not come on to say, and we should have some justification what's gone on that.
And also, they're now saying they aim to get the terminal finished by the middle of 2023.
Yes. I just can't. Well, you could write a book about it, couldn't you? And I'm sure a lot of people are frustrated about what's gone on, because every penny counts, every pound's going to count, isn't it, towards the future. And we still have those. If they said to us, right, we're going to backheel some of the programs we're going to have for the DOI, which was the bridge at St. John's and the viaduct, I don't know how far we're down the road on that. I've never seen any tender documents going out or contractors asked to provide work for the site. So one has to ask the questions. What is actually going on? Because it's our money.
Okay. Thanks, David.
See you, boy.
All right, appreciate it. And Howard's with us now. Good afternoon, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just listening to David there, there's a lot of good points. But one thing that that needs asking, a little while ago, the government borrowed £400 million. Now, was there something in the offering? Alf Cannon was Treasury Minister at the time, and it went through on a nod in Parliament, in government. Now, it wasn't long afterwards that the chief executive fell off the perch. He disappeared into the ether, never heard of since. But the number of increases in the various government DOI schemes, they just seem to be falling now. And they're just another, as you say rightly, another 30-odd million. They talk in this like it's pennies. But 30 million could go an awful long way to doing work in the hospital, employing new nurses, not managers. But there's been no questions asked. It's just gone through, oh, that's fine. Yeah, another 30 million. Now, was some of that 400 million that has been borrowed, was that earmarked for cock-ups in the DOI?
Well, I think, I mean, the feedback I get, and I read hundreds, thousands of emails every mm-hmm. month or so from people, and what people, the feeling I get is that people just like to know. They almost also want to know bad news. It's just they don't like not knowing what's going on.
Exactly. Well, I know of one firm that used to have the boss, and he would say, just let them know what they need to know. And that was it. That was the level. It was it was the reverse of what we have today. It was a glass floor. Nothing got below it. And the information that was kept in-house was enough to upset the rest of the balance of the house, but it wasn't allowed to get out. And this, I'm afraid, is what's happening with the government. They're keeping so much hidden away that people are now building up a serious mistrust to anybody that's in government. And a lot of them are good workers. A lot of them are very hard workers. But the previous parliamentarians, they were very devious. Plus, there's a people bailing out now that's sat in comfortable jobs for many, many years. And as I say, that 400 million is sitting there now, and how many other fingers are going to be dipped into it to cover the cost of serious, and I emphasise that, serious mistakes within the DOI and its, peripheries.
Mm. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens, because obviously they've got a pitch for the money at December's Tynwald, and presumably there will be an in-depth statement about what it's going to be used for and what the implications are.
Yeah, well, they're talking now, 70 million. They're also putting an extra 70 million to the steam packet. So the debt on the steam packet will be not far away from what it was originally when they bought it. They're talking of £160 million debt for the steam packet. That's without actually paying for it, 100 and odd million. So we're back to where we were, where the steam packet is running with a serious debt hanging around its neck, a big millstone. And if somewhere in the system this Liverpool landing stage goes the same way, then it's going to be like the power station and the various other aspects of the deals done with the electric company. That's going to be on the taxpayers for 20, 30, 40 more years. So it'll be out of my time, but the younger generation coming up are going to be paying for what is now serious mistakes. If it was in private business, they would have been emptied long ago.
All right. Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, then. Take care.
All right. 28 minutes before one, and Adam is with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. You all right?
Well, we're okay. It's a lovely day, isn't it?
It is a lovely day today. Yeah, we are having quite a nice winter. It seems quite crisp and sunny, this one. What I was going to say is, the other day on that Locate Isle of Man on LinkedIn, on the Locate Isle of Man page, they put up a blog post saying that they, saying about these two ladies who'd come over from Northern Ireland, and they had got jobs as geography teachers at Ballycommeen High School. And I applied for the geography teacher role at Ballycommeen High School, and I didn't get it. And the reason I didn't get it is because I would have been a non-qualified teacher. And they obviously are both fully qualified teachers. I'm sure they're very good teachers. And they've been taken on, obviously, instead of me. And now they're trying to get more people, yet more people advertising, yet more people over to the Isle of Man, and especially teachers who are qualified teachers. So basically, if you're a Manx person and you want to go into teaching, then you have to go away to the UK and get trained up, go to university in the UK and get trained up, or you have to get yourself a job as a non-qualified teacher in the Isle of Man, and there's a college course, but you are always second choice to those who are already qualified from across.
So what's your opinion of what should happen?
Well, they should introduce a route where you can train as a teacher in the Isle of Man, where you can train as a teacher in the Isle of Man, because, I mean, we can train accountants in the Isle of Man, and people can get degrees in accountancy in the Isle of Man without ever going to university, but we cannot train teachers and we cannot train nurses, and I'd like to know how that situation arose or why it's allowed to stay that way.
Well, and again, the whole nurse situation has been brought up before, but the point of, I mean, we've obviously got a relationship with the University of Chester, isn't it, with the UCIOM?
Yeah. I mean, I'm wrong saying that we can't train teachers, because, I mean, the Isle of Man can train teachers, but the way it's done in the Isle of Man is they're taken on as non-qualified teachers in schools, and they train sort of on the job, doing sort of I don't know how many days a week it is at college and how many days a week in schools, but they're always second preference to already qualified teachers from elsewhere, you know?
Okay.
So it's very hard to get a leg in. It's very hard to get a foot in. And I think that's quite wrong. And the other thing is, do we think that the job situation in the Isle of Man, the economy we've got, is serving the Manx people in the best way it can? Because as I'm saying, you can get a degree in accountancy in the Isle of Man by going to MPES or somewhere. And but as I say, you cannot train as a nurse on the island. It's difficult to, and it's difficult to train as a teacher. It's a lot of people have to go across to do it. So, and the other, to get into the finance sector, you need a degree. You know, they're looking for undergraduate, they're looking for graduates. They're not looking for just any old body to take on in the finance sector and the good jobs. They're looking for graduates, for fresh graduates, especially for graduates with maths, with business studies, with economics. you know. So so not everybody can get in there. And I just think they need to look at ways of making it easier for people from a wider range of backgrounds to get in, to get into some of these positions. Because, I mean, if we look at the crime in the Alaman, or if we look at the drugs and things going on around the island, it's always Manx people, usually with Manx surnames, to be honest, who get arrested and charged with drugs. If you look in the paper, it's always young Manx men who are being arrested and charged with drugs and that sort of thing. And it just strikes me that we're not serving the finance sector and the economy the way things are, is not serving the Manx people in the best way it could be.
Interesting. That's a good point. Okay, Adam, thanks for calling in today. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Andy. Bye-bye.
23 minutes before one. Text 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Call 66 1368. Loads of texts and emails to get through.
Winter is a good time to check that your gas boiler and heating system are working properly. Manx Gas offers advice on ensuring that your gas boiler is set to work as efficiently as possible, which could save you money this winter. We offer comfort checks and energy saving advice too. Just call us on 644444 and don't wait until you have a problem with your heating. For peace of mind, get in touch with our friendly team at Manx Gas on 644444.
For your new bathroom, head to Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Peacetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Peacetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of it.
And storage today, loads big and small, day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer,
yay!
Your movers are here,
they do it right.
Merry Christmas from all the team at Corkill Removals and Storage. Ho, ho,
675-495, we'll get your loan, deliver on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click CorkillRemovals.com.
Local business? Nicola Bowker & Co. Need an accountant? Nicola Bowker & Co. Want accounts you can trust? Nicola Bowker & Co. Whether a sole trader or large company, for your free initial meeting, call today on 861-271.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools. Made to measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Howard Street, Douglas, call 611-856 or see Bond Fabrics.
Here at Manx Radio, we're looking for a new non-executive director to join the board. If you have a passion and an understanding of the role of public service media in our community, along with a good idea of the issues and challenges facing broadcasters today, then this might be the role for you. You'll need previous board-level experience for the paid part-time position. The non-execs meet around 9 times each year, but your experience and knowledge may be called on from time to time outside of these meetings. Applications are welcome from suitably experienced people across the whole island community. There's more information online in the About Us section at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
At 20 to 1 now, Wilf's with us. Hi, Wilf.
Hiya. I just thought I'd come on just to give a few. This new bill that we're talking about, the Greenfield site. Now, it's a floodplain, there's no doubt about that. But the thing is, a number of years ago, before Dandara built where they built, up at Gardner's Lane, they had a special meeting in the town hall, them against me, government against me, commissioners against me. And I said, you mustn't build houses where the Sally's got his feet in the water. That's the willow, right? And they said, oh, we're going to build a bund wall around it to keep the tide out. I said, that's no use, because if it rains outside, it rains inside.
Oh, we've lost Wilf. We'll try and get you back, Wilf. Sorry, I thought your signal seemed to be drifting there. But this is all concerning this new development in Ramsey, which we were talking about earlier on. This new development that's for houses. It's a greenfield site in Ramsey. But we'll talk about it. It's £40 million odd pounds they're talking about, Sulby Riverside proposals for this greenfield site. So they're giving me an opportunity to get some more emails and texts. The positive COVID rates are rising considerably, yet the majority of us are jabbed. So why is this happening? Are we all cleansing? Are we wearing face coverings? What is going on? That's Crystal. Well, Wilf, hopefully we're going to find out what's going on. I think we found Wilf again. Hello, Wilf.
Hello.
You're back. You're back on the air, Wilf. I think we've lost him again. Oh, Wilf, go and stand where there's some signal and we'll try and get you back. Call us again. That's Wilf Young calling from Ramsey as well. It's not a good advert for tourism, is it, says Dave, if we have a sister dying on the Isle of Man. I think a sister dying is long overdue, says Ben. Something is wrong when your cat gets treated more humanely than your nan, says Ben. That's Ben's words, by the way. All this money being spent in Liverpool, wouldn't the government be better spending it on the Isle of Man? We only use Liverpool for 6 or 7 months a year, says John. But the problem is, we're going to lose the pierhead. Liverpool City Council have decided, or the Mersey Docks and Harbour Board have decided, that's going to be where they put the cruise liners, so that those 3,000 or 4,000 people can come off the cruise liners and spend their money in Liverpool One and go on the Beatles tours and what have you. So we're losing the pierhead for the steam packet. I understand that Stena have negotiated another lease on their link span on the Wirral at Birkenhead, and consequently I think the link span is the wrong size for us, so we can't go to Birkenhead anymore, to 12 Keys. So the pierhead's going, 12 Keys is going. We have to have our own space. Now, we own this. We own half Princess Half Tide Dock. But the price is going up and up and up. And I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding £70.6 million. You're back, Wilf?
Yep, I am. Yep.
Okay, right. You were saying?
Right. Now then, they had a special meeting against me. Fair enough. Okay. Because I told them not to build there. But then I told them how to build there. And believe it or not, they took it on. I said, you've got to put 1 million tons of rubble where you're going to build, and then you build on top of that. And now, when I questioned them a little while ago in a meeting we had, oh, we've never dumped any rubble there. I said, listen, fella, I've dumped a minimum of 200 ton of rubble for you with my lorry. So don't try telling lies. Anyway, the thing is, it's definitely a floodplain, and where they're talking about building now is lower again. You have to build it up. That's the only way you can build on there.
So they said that the original, I mean, the commissioners before this new lot were enthusiastic about it, Wilf. Was that right?
Well, we haven't got a new lot yet. We've only got the three of them in. Three new ones in. The original, the ones they're talking about, were the original lot that was talking about. They're still there.
Right, okay.
Yes, I'm all for that. Yes, build on there. Because there's no use to nothing at the moment. Nobody grows anything on anything like that. And it's been like that for many years as I can remember. But it's definitely a floodplain. And it's worse than where Dandara have built now. Dandara have built so far out, as far as it can go, and they're right on the edge of Ballycrink now, and they've stopped there. And if you go and look at it, there is a cliff face of rubble. Hello?
Yeah, okay. So you reckon that, I mean, you're for this development, are you, then?
Oh, yes, definitely. We need more housing, and we need it near town. And that's a place that needs building on. But it has to be built up. Now, when they're going to put this road in, that's why Dandara never put the road in from the bakery end, because they knew they had to dump hundreds, thousands of tons of rubble to put the road on top of it. Now, these people have got to do that.
They've got to lift it up.
Okay. Right. Okay. All right, Wolf. Well, we appreciate the call. You haven't got a load of rubble you need to get rid of, have you?
I can supply rubble if they want it.
I thought you might say
I can
that.
Keep... No, other people, that it'll be a good tip for rubble.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
It's 14 minutes before one.
Manx Radio, the nation's Christmas station. The only station the elves listen to in the workshop.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells. With no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Been bottling up the need for a great party. Not long till Christmas, but why wait to celebrate? The season for good times is officially underway, so get down to Wineright, Party Central. Loads of big beer deals, 25% off selected wine, with champagne too. Our biggest and best ever offers. Everything on your party shopping list in one spacious, easy parking place. Wineright. So please remember, a party isn't just for Christmas.
Help us make a life-changing difference and enter our monthly hospice lottery draw. You could win one of three cash prizes of £1,000, £300 or £150 for just £5 per play. That means we can continue to provide our services to those who need them, when they need them, completely free of charge. Enter online at hospice.org.im/lottery. Players must be 16 or over, and terms and conditions apply.
All aboard for Groutle Glen Railway Centre Train.
Wait, sorry, I haven't missed the train, have I? I couldn't find my keys.
You're just in time, Santa. Enjoy your journey. Santa's back in his grotto, and he can't wait to see you. Catch the Groutle Glen Santa Train from Groutle Beach in the two weekends before Christmas. This year, you need to book in advance online at ggr.org.uk.
Supported by Manx Radio.
Now we're into the festive season. Here at Manx Radio, we're giving you the chance to win a brand new smartphone just in time for Christmas. Between now and the 13th of December, if you take part in our Luck of the Draw competition, it could be you winning an iPhone 13 from IQ on Prospect Hill in Douglas. Head over to the Manx Radio Facebook page and have a look at the daily photo clue and tell us whether you think we're referring to good luck or bad luck. Text your answers to 166177, start your message with IQ, and you'll go into the big prize draw for the iPhone 13 on the 13th of December. So get ready to win this Christmas with your nation station and IQ, the island's Apple premium reseller.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
11 minutes to one on Manx Radio, and comment on a sister dying. What happens if you're terminally ill, but okay to live through your illness, but through pressures from social services, civil servants who may feel pressured into ending their lives? What happens if someone has the power of attorney over a person that is ill? Will the ill person still have their say? Thank you. That's 476 as well. I think it's more of a cost-saving exercise and little to do with compassion and empathy, says that texter. And Colin said, look, I'm a local contractor. When we submit a tender for a government contract, it has to be on a fixed price, regardless of labour or material cost rises, but do have a contingency sum for unseen factors. So how has this contractor at the Liverpool Dock scheme been allowed to screw the Manx government the way that they are? Everything the government gets involved with ends up as a mess and costing us money as well. So why are we paying also for that bomb disposal at Liverpool when the cost is what we pay the UK for security? That's Colin about the cost for the half-tide dock, 70-odd million it's going to be. Well, it'll be very interesting in December, Timwald, what the truth is behind all this. Ian said, look, Andy, I'm fully in support of a sister dying. The hideous condition of dementia takes people away from their family in a horrible way. It's a living death, in my opinion, says Ian. Personally, I wouldn't want to put my family through it if I were diagnosed with dementia. I'd like to be able to control how I would like to end my life and save my family, seeing me deteriorate to a stage where they wouldn't even know me. A different issue today, what do people think? Is it appropriate for a lecturer at the Alaman College who refuses to wear a face mask? And when one was placed on their desk by a student, the student was mocked by the lecturer. Tell us more about that. Is that true? That's just an anecdotal thing at the moment. 723, is that true? And somebody said, this is Vori, who just said, well, where is assisted suicide, and her words, assisted suicide, legal around the world? There are two stages, really. There's physician-assisted suicide being legal, and there's also one that's a little greyer, really, legalised by a court ruling, but not legislated or regulated. Physician-assisted suicide being illegal there. So it's legalised by court ruling, but not legislated or regulated. It's legal. Physician-assisted suicide is legal, I think, in most parts of Australia. I think, apart from the only, I think, Northern Territories or possibly Queensland, the Gold Coast, it's not legal. New Zealand, Spain, Canada, California, Washington State, Switzerland, Holland, all these places, and possibly in the future, Jersey. What are your thoughts on this as well? Dr. Allenson will be introducing, I think, a discussion paper next year as well. The new landing stage in Liverpool is just another overpriced, poorly managed government public money scheme. The Flumes, the Prom, Richmond Hill. Could anybody tell us when the government's done anything on time, on budget, or even ahead of time and under budget? It would be nice, wouldn't it? Possibly government could do that. Just tell us. If things were actually done ahead of time and under budget, and everybody could get a round of applause and a clap on the back. Families won't be able to just turn up and have a relative put down. Counselling will be in place for the person wanted assisted dying. Some people just don't want progress, says H. The cancellation of corporate Christmas party bookings will surely impact on the taxi business, where corporate taxi bookings are also cancelled as well. I just wonder whether your Christmas do has been cancelled or whether it's going ahead. A question for the health of the nation, says Sue. What effect has no route into Ireland since 2020 had on the recruitment of medical personnel? Seems the Alaman government has completely cut off the recruitment pool of people from Ireland, and I think it's very short-sighted. Adam's with us. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Randy. I just came back to make one point that I forgot to make last time.
Okay.
There's been a crackdown on drugs on the Alaman over the last couple of weeks, and it's in the paper this week about the crackdown. And what I would like to know is why is it always young individuals who are paying the price? You know, it's young individuals who have got themselves involved in drugs, and they're the victims, really, and they're the ones who have been arrested. They're the ones who've been charged. It's not, you know, some of the island's most well-known drug dens and money laundering facilities remain open. Their owners remain unpunished. Nothing's happened to them. And, we all know who they are, or at least most of us do. And it's never the wealthy, organised criminals behind the drugs who are the ones who pay. It's always the victims, the young Manx people, who are arrested.
Well, remember, a lot of this comes through Liverpool, so we've got no jurisdiction in Liverpool. We can't go into the hinterland of Merseyside and arrest people. And obviously, the Liverpudlian gangs are the ones that put the mules on the boat or on the plane or on ribs or what have you to get to the Isle of Man. So, I mean, we can't regulate that end, can we?
No, but there's businesses, there's wealthy individuals in the Isle of Man. It's never them who are the ones who are upset. It's never them who are the ones who pay. It's always the young individuals who unfortunately get wrapped up in it, who have to pay the price. And I think it's wrong. And again, it's an example of how the finance sector is not serving us, how the finance sector leads to wealthy individuals being protected, even when they're corrupt, because, you know, the government wants them in the Aleman or whatever, or for whatever reason, Andy. But it's never the right people who pay the price anyway.
All right. Okay, Adam, thanks for that. Thanks for your opinion on that matter. Well, that whole subject of the provision of drugs on the Isle of Man and who finances it. Well, we could go on all day, couldn't we, about that? I was in the spa shop in Port Erin last night with a mask. A man was served wearing no mask, despite a sign saying, faces must be covered, but can't be enforced. Went to the spa at Colby at noon, no mask, face covered with a double wrap scarf, told, I was told off. What a caper, says 924. Now, if you've got anything to say, by the way, out of hours, email maninline at manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern today. We're back tomorrow with another open line, Friday lunchtime. That's our date at high noon.